Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought forth on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and of Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. In verse number 23, Paul now says, my ministry in these parts where I am is over, and it's time for me to move on. But before I do that, and before I go into Spain, I've got a little duty that I'm going to do. And I think we probably should take a pretty close look at this. Verse number 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Well, what kind of saints do you suppose that he might find in Jerusalem? Yes, the apostles were there. Jews, absolutely. He's going to minister to the Jews, but he asks that they pray for him in verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. It's good, I think, for us to stop and pause here for a moment and consider a few things concerning the Jews. Now, it's interesting that in the book of Romans, over and over and over, the Jews have been brought up, have they not? Right from the very beginning, right on to this point, the Jews have been brought up in a book or an epistle that was primarily written to a Gentile church. I think that the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit wanted us to see some certain things about the Jews, because Paul knows what's going on in the churches of Galatia, and he knows why it's going on. He knows a lot of the misunderstandings that are going to arise concerning the Jews by Christians and, well, let's just be honest, a lot of so-called Christians. And so he's written a great deal in the book of Romans concerning Jerusalem, believing Jews, and unbelieving Jews. And I think today, since we're living in the last days of the last days, and Israel has been gathered together again out of the nations, and now exists as a nation, it's important that we understand how we'd ought to feel towards the Jews and towards Israel. Well, Paul here is very much concerned about his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he's taken up an offering here, which he didn't beg for, but the Macedonians in verse number 26 in Achaia decided on their own that they wanted to do something to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. Let's consider just for a few minutes now how these folks in Macedonia and Achaia, back in the time of the Apostle Paul's ministry, felt about the Jews. What do you think would have been a topic of conversation in these churches concerning the Jews if you had been there? What do you think you might have heard? Anybody want to venture something forth? How do you suppose that the Gentile Christians in Macedonia and Achaia felt about Jerusalem, the Jews, the believing Jews, and the unbelieving Jews? Okay, let's maybe look at it in light of verse number 27. It hath pleased them verily, pleased who? Well, the saints of Macedonia and Achaia. It hath pleased them verily to do what? Well, to make this contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. These are saved Jews, by the way. It hath pleased them verily, verse 27, and their debtors they are. What does that mean? And their debtors they are. He explains what it means in the next sentence, but tell me in other words what this means. I think there's a principle being set forth here. Okay, but there's a matter of debt here. The word debtor is used. What do you think that Paul is saying here? And he's saying it by the Spirit, too, is he not? This is inspired Scripture. And their debtors, they are. Who's in debt to who, and for what? All right, the Jews are in debt to the Gentiles. Okay. Let's read these two verses again. I think it's important because we have to decide what we think about the Jews today, don't we? You know, in America, before 1948, most of the Jews lived in some of the big city ghettos in the U.S., just like they did in Europe. Praise the Lord that they weren't persecuted like they were in Europe. Well, discounting the fact that Franklin Roosevelt sent so many of them to the gas chamber, but we'll just pass over that for a moment. He hated the Jews. So did Eleanor. Nonetheless, it's important for us as Christians today to know how we ought to feel towards the Jews and what our relationship with the Jews is, because they're back, they're here, and they're not going away till Jesus comes again. Yes, Brother Kirby. Sure, go ahead. Yes, that's it. That's it. And so, really, there have been two prevailing views, at least in the United States, concerning the Jews. One would say that they're Christ killers. A lot of the denominations would say that. That's what they said in Europe. And so they hounded them mercilessly. God is completely finished with them. There's no reason for another Jew to be breathing air that we may someday need. Therefore, exterminate them. Hitler did the world a favor. I know that sounds like an extreme statement, but don't you forget that the Pope called Hitler a defender of the faith. Don't ever forget that. And then there are a lot of evangelicals that almost would believe that Jews don't really need to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ simply because they're Jews. And that Christians ought to really take up a whole lot of Jewish teaching and culture to the point where they're little more than just Galatianized. So those are kind of two views, and I think both of us, or all of us, can understand that they're extreme views. Paul doesn't have a single good thing to say about the Judaizers in the churches at Galatia, does he? Galatians is really negative. And what does Galatians deal with? Mixing Judaism, which is the law of Moses, all of their rituals, everything that the Jews did, with the gospel. And then on the other side of the coin, we have Hitler as a defender of the faith, exterminating the Jews. What did God say concerning those who would curse Abraham? Yes, that still stands, doesn't it? So I think there's a good question that's raised up out of this portion of Scripture. What is Paul teaching that the Romans ought to think about the Jews? And then we'll try to extend that to the present day. How does that impact on us? It does, you know. Verse 25. Let's read the whole passage again. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now this must be pretty big business because Paul over and over describes his longing to come to Rome to see these saints at Rome. And when we get to the 16th chapter, Paul just really starts pouring out his heart. It's after the Amen in chapter 15. But he really starts to pour out how he feels about the Romans. And after you're done with chapter 16, you'll say, wow, I got to go to minister to the saints at Jerusalem, but I sure wish I was with you. So do you think this is important? It sure is. But now I go, verse number 25, unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now it's true, he does single out the saints here, the saved Jews. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Well, this is interesting. What do you suppose Paul is talking about here? Verse 27, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now, there's a great principle here that we'll look at, but let's look at just part of this sentence. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, in what sense or how are the Gentiles made partakers of their spiritual things. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true, but it really doesn't get to the point here. In what manner were the Gentiles made partakers of their spiritual things? What spiritual things do you think they're talking about? Well, Christ, obviously, as Barb just brought up, but would there be more to it than that? And might there be a broader sense in which Christianity is somehow in debt to Judaism? And if so, to what extent? What we're talking about here now encompasses the idea that I brought up a moment ago. Christians, some falsely so-called, I'm sure, like Hitler, have been divided on the issue of what should we think about the Jews, what should we think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their lineal descendants. Well, God's not using the Jews anymore. Let's just exterminate them. Or, on the other side, as the pendulum swings to the opposite extreme, let's emulate them. I mean, if Judaism is so good, let's just take what we like out of it and incorporate it into Christianity. What we're looking for is the center of the swing of the pendulum. Doesn't stay at the center of its swing very long, so we're going to have to think fast. Paul has brought this up now, so let's think about it. In what way would Gentile Christians be partakers of the spiritual things of Israel? Since these are the saints first and foremost, of course, he who is to be the Jewish Messiah when he comes again came from the lineage of the house of David. Well, that's certainly their greatest spiritual thing, isn't it? But are there other things? Wouldn't it be good to think about, you know, how far would true Christians go in receiving anything spiritual from Judaism? Should we start to keep the Sabbath? The Seventh-day Adventists thought that was a good idea. Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to get us to think about. How can we think about what we inherited from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without mixing law and grace? Because Paul here is saying that in some sense, the Gentiles are indebted to the Jews for their spiritual things. Is there some way that we could receive spiritual things from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants without mixing law and grace? Because remember, that's at the extreme end of the pendulum swing. Galatianism. Well, that's out. And we can't go the other way and start exterminating the Jews because, after all, they killed Christ. God plainly says that those that would curse Abraham, he'll curse. What's in the center here? Because once we get this figured out, we'll know how we should relate to modern-day Israel. Now, it's true that Paul's talking about the saints here, and there are probably not too many saints within the Knesset in Israel today. These are very secular Jews. And in fact, if Christ came to Israel today, what do you think their reaction would be? Pretty much the same as it was 2,000 years ago, don't you imagine? This is a deep thing to think about, isn't it? It's in the news all the time. We hear such and such a politician is pro-Israel. Such and such a denomination is pro-Israel. Well, what does that mean? In what way should Christians be pro-Israel if Christians should be pro-Israel? Yes? Okay. Yes. Yes. Good. Keep going. Mm-hmm. And those that bless them, he will bless. Yes. Okay, and emulate their ways? Try to develop a hybrid religion between Christianity and Judaism? It's already been done. They're called Seventh-day Adventists. They're called Roman Catholics. In a lot of cases, I'm sad to say, they're called Baptists. Good, clear thinking. This is the time for Christians to know what they ought to think about Israel. Because every one of us who is a Christian is indebted in a certain way to Israel. Can you think of another way that Christians are indebted to Israel? Yes. Paul says it earlier in Romans. Go ahead, Brother Kirby. Okay, we are partakers of a spiritual promise that God made to Abraham. It's true. But Paul says something else. Right here in the book of Romans concerning something that we're really indebted to the Jews for. Chiefly, that unto them was committed, yes, which, what are the oracles of God? Oh, they're not Madonnas. The Old Testament. Why, sure. Would we have the Old Testament if it weren't for the nation of Israel? You know, for all their failings, Israel was really meticulous in keeping the Word of God. They were very, very careful about that. They failed in so many ways. But in that way, God made them faithful. And we're indebted to them for that. Well, those are some good thoughts. But we're out of time, so let's pray. Our dear Lord, now as we conclude the lesson for tonight, I just pray that we'll have this on our minds throughout the week. For Lord, now we're bombarded with information concerning Israel, opinions concerning Israel. And Lord, while we might not pay much attention to what the politicians have to say about it, Lord, when we hear so-called spiritual leaders making pronouncements, then Lord, we do start to wonder. Lord, let us consider what your word says about the matter. For Lord, we know that there is a sense in which we're all indebted to Israel. And yet there's another sense in which we stand upon entirely new ground, resurrection ground. And Lord, most of what pertained to Israel doesn't pertain to us anymore, for our citizenship is in heaven. Nonetheless, we're in this world, and the nation of Israel is here. Lord, help us to think clearly concerning this issue, that our hearts would be in the right place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.